Blog Talk Radio.
Hello from the other side.
Now presenting. Channeling Eric's Hour of Enlightenment.
Hello, hello, and thank you to Live Paranormal for letting us do our gig here. And for you guys who don't know, I am Dr. Elisa Medhus. My son is Eric Medhus. He is now a spirit guide on the other side, and he's here to help us. Today, we are so honored to have Raylene Nuanez as our spirit translator. Kim actually got a surprise visit from her husband, who is a soldier, who came back from, I think, Afghanistan. So she wants to spend time with him and the kids. So Raylene is filling in, and we're so honored, like I said. Hi, Eric. I love you.
Hi, he says. He says, hi, Mom. I love you. He's telling all the viewers hello. He says, I'm excited to be here today. He got a serious subject to talk about. He smiles.
Yes, that's right. Eric wants to talk about, quote, unquote, trapped by protection. He says that when people stay in the protective mode, they die a slow death and live painfully. You know, that does not sound good. I'll open the floor to you, Eric.
He says, no, Mom, it's not good. He says, it is what you make of it. He's talking about life. And so he says, if you live with stress, if you feel fearful, he says that this can cause physical pain, and therefore you're going to live a painful life. But he's talking about a different type of protection. And so he's talking about if you guys feel fearful with whether it's job, whether it's, he's talking about family. If you feel fearful of your family being hurt, well, then you're going to live in pain because it's causing stress on your physical body. And so he says that this is going to be physical pain and also mental pain. He's telling me that this leads into deep depression, which is where the mental pain comes from.
Well, what do you mean by protective mode, Eric? People who stay in the protective mode.
He says people that are in that state of mind where they're constantly worried about something, or they're constantly trying to protect their money, protect their job, protect their family. He's indicating that you don't need to have that sense of protection all the time. He says that
protecting
you need to have
your feelings, protecting your feelings, protecting your self-esteem. There's all sorts of things we end up protecting in this difficult human experience.
Yeah, he says, yeah, Mom. He says you're absolutely right about that. But the thing is, you don't have to be in that flight mode. You don't have to stay there. He says, because when you stay there, it does no good for you. It causes physical stress. You know, if you want to know what you can do to mellow out, to calm down, to let that shit flow. He goes, what you can do, he says, you can sit back, you can go outdoors in nature and just let your mind go wherever it wants to go. He goes, nature is the number one thing for just about everybody because it connects you to source. It connects you to all that is. And so if you just go out there and you think about the moment that you're in and you live in the moment and you don't think about the future or you don't think about the past, I know it's easier said than done, but go out and allow your mind to clear nature. He's also talking about making your mind busy with hobbies. So by thinking about something else, you're not going to be in that protective mode state. You're not going to be in that flight or die mode. And so he says, what you need to do is find relaxment, find joy, find a hobby. And he says, you're going to be the one to choose the hobby because you know yourself better than anybody else does.
Sure. But, you know, I think one of the most typical things we protect is our feelings. Let's talk about that. We want to protect our feelings. Nobody wants to get their feelings hurt. You know, sometimes it can be so devastating, and it sure does do a number on our self-esteem sometimes.
He says, more than you know, Mom. He's telling me that there's too many people that are dealing with self-esteem issues because their feelings have been hurt by one too many people. And so he says, by protecting your feelings, this is huge, he says, because your feelings are more, they're a bigger part of you than what you realize. And so he says, one way you could protect your feelings, he says, to distance yourself from the people that hurt you and to surround yourself with only positivity. Feelings are huge, Mom, because do you know you can feel feelings of other people, and so you can feel somebody's animosity towards you, somebody's sadness towards you. He says this is for people that are really incredibly sensitive, and he's indicating that over half of our world is incredibly sensitive and have empathic abilities to feel someone else's feelings and emotions towards you. And so he says you also want to work on practicing what your feelings are and what somebody else's feelings are. And so he's talking about distancing from negativity, from negative people, not only but environments.
What if you have a relationship that you want to salvage? You know, they've hurt your feelings here and there, but you feel like you want to salvage that relationship. What can you do?
So he says you can, Mom, with using specific tools like going to therapy and talking about where the issue's coming from and talk about how to fix the problems within the relationship. He says that this isn't only romantic relationships, people. This could be your mom, your brother, your son, your daughter.
Yeah, sure.
He says any type of relationship. So he says you have to use tools to help you. He says therapy would be a tool for fixing a relationship.
Well, what if somebody can't afford therapy? Because sometimes it's pretty expensive.
He goes, you're right, Mom. I'm glad you brought that up. And so alternatives would be to write letters to each other ahead of time and talk about things that you're disliking and things that you want to change. You also want to write things that you also don't like about yourself, so that way the other person doesn't feel like you're instigating and only pointing out the flaws in them. And so you want to write things that you want to work on and things that you want the other person to work on.
Great idea.
He says when you use handwriting.
Go ahead.
All right. He says when you use handwriting, Mom, you tend to get a lot further because if you use your voice, you can raise your voice unintentionally, or you can start to cry unintentionally. And so by putting it on paper, you don't have that tone. You don't have that vibration coming out and causing more harm.
Right. Of course, sometimes it's really important to know the emotional intent behind writing. Like if you text somebody, sometimes it could be misinterpreted as like distant or cruel or whatever because there's not that emotional tone. So you have to really reflect your emotions in the writing to get it right. And writing's good also because you get to sit back and wait, check what you've written the next day, make sure it still rings true and it's not going to hurt any feelings and so on.
He says yes, and that's why you want to write it before you go and have the conversation. So that way you can make sure that what you put on paper is what you mean, because you can't take back words that you put out there. He says they go a long ways. They have vibration. So you want to make sure you mean what you're saying, which is why you think about it ahead of time. And so he says, keep in mind, you're just writing things on paper. You're going to be sitting next to the person that you want to work things out with, or you're going to be on the phone with them. However, there's still going to be that communication, but the initial communication is going to be through you reading a paper versus me telling you. And he says, then the initial questions can come about. He says it's a lot more simpler than trying to talk it all out just out of the blue, because you have time to write it down and think about what you really feel.
All right, so you can, I guess, just say, hey, let's get together for coffee, and you can read your letter and then let them digest it and then talk. Or should it be done on separate settings?
No, he says it should be done both of them on the same day and the same time, so that way you have an equal understanding of each other, and then you both have time to go home and process everything that you just took in.
Okay.
He goes, Mom, feelings are hard to get over.
I know. What else about being in the protective mode? For example, why we get there? Why do we put ourselves in this protective mode? Of course, we know hurt feelings is, you know, one reason, but why else?
He says, well, this is really the ego that's doing that to you, Mom. The ego forces you to go into protective mode. He says it's your natural human nature to go there. Mm-hmm. Your mind just automatically goes there. The ego tends to take control over emotions, and it also can cause fear in people.
Yeah, because the ego is responsible for survival. That's its primal purpose, is just survival. So of course, that makes sense to be in the protective mode because of that. Any other things that you can help us out with as far as getting out of the protective mode or avoiding going into the protective mode, Eric?
He's talking about other reasons why you would be in protective mode first. And so he says, mm-hmm. some people come into this world and they feel a natural sense of fear, and they're not knowing where that fear comes from. For people that are like that, you want to look into your past life and figure out why you're feeling the way that you're feeling, because it's not all only associated to your current life, to current things that you're mm-hmm. experiencing.
That makes sense.
Yes. And so she goes, ask your question again, Mom.
I can't remember what it was. What else can you tell us about being in the protective mode? Like, why do we get into the protective mode and how we can get out of it? Anything.
He says, well, you get there because of the emotions that you're feeling. And he says, you've got to figure out what the emotion is and where the cause of it is coming from. So that's why it's important to do writing. And then he's talking about releasing fear, because that's what, when you're in the protective mode, you're holding on to fear, any type of fear. Fear has many different reasons of why it's present. And so you want to go back and figure out where that fear is coming from and cut the cords to it. And he's talking about literally cutting cords. And so when it comes to cutting energetic cords, you can cut an energetic cord through meditation, even through therapy, by talking to somebody about the issue that's cutting the energetic cord. Now, if you're to go onto a YouTube and type in cord cutting meditation, you would then pay attention to the guided cord cutting meditation, and then also acknowledge memories that come to your mind and allow them to surface and allow yourself to visibly cut a cord. And if you're not the type of person that can get good visuals, then what you would do is just state the intention of cutting cords, whether it's to a person or a thing. You want to cut the cord to the fear. He says they're energetic cords, Mom. You're not going to see it with your physical eye, but you will feel it.
Ah, you know, I remember when my youngest was, I guess, in preschool, kindergarten or whatever, there was one classmate, a boy, that was fearful of everything. And sometimes he had to get his mom to pick him up from school. It was just really incapacitating. And then there's another friend of my granddaughter, Arlene, who was also afraid. He was afraid to go up the stairs and to climb down the stairs at the age of like 7 or 8. So it was really kind of strange. What can you do to help fearful kids?
He says, well, first off, what you want to do is you want to ground your child. If a child has fear that's coming in from elsewhere, you want to work on grounding them to their current life. And so taking your kids outside
of
nature.
You think they're not grounded in this life, that they might be still a portion of their soul on the other side or in another life?
She says both are connecting to another life that's going at the same time simultaneously as all of our lives are going simultaneously.
Yeah.
So he says, yes, but not all the time, Mom. So there's a couple of different tactics that you can use. And the first one that I would suggest all parents to go to would be taking your kids outdoors in nature, giving them some sense of consistency, whether this is having them brush their teeth at the same time every day, something little that a child can be consistent with. Or you can also tell your child that they're safe. And so what you can do is you can teach your child a word, whether their word be safe or whether their word be frog, and tell your child to put intention behind the word. And so if you're not a religious person, you can just tell them, when you say the word frog, this is going to be your safe word. And so consciously, they're feeling safe. If you're a religious person, you can put some belief system into it and tell your child whenever you say this word, it's indication for whether it's source or God to protect you, and then they have instant protection. It's more for the conscious mind, Mom, that's what needs to know that I'm safe and I'm protected.
What about pre-verbal kids, like infants that are, just seem like they're afraid all the time?
He says, well, first off, there's some reasons why, there's multiple reasons why these children, these infants can be scared, or why they...
They're like, oh my God, what the F? Why am I here? I want to get out of here. I made a mistake. Erasies. That's probably part of it.
He's laughing at you, and he says, sometimes that's the case, but rarely. They're really afraid because of the new environment, what they're seeing, and infants are connected to the other side a lot more than what we expect, you and I, he's referring to. And so he says that they're still seeing, whether it's a guardian angel, as you would want to call it, or lights, things that are not new to them. It's a completely new environment. He's talking about an infant that would be more of like 3 months of age now. And those infants, very rarely, he says, there's a lot of children that are being born, he's referring to as awake right now. And so they're seeing spirits that are not in the room. And then there's also the children that are feeling stress from their parents. It's more of energy that they're feeling and that they're seeing.
Oh, yeah.
Which
they're
is
like empaths.
Panic in them.
Yeah, they're like empaths.
Yes. He says, but it's a little bit different for the infants because they are incredibly more sensitive than
when you're
1 or 2 years old.
Well, I used to have a technique I did with my children when they were got hurt, started crying, have a temper tantrum or whatever. I would take them outside, or you could do it inside too, but then I would point at things and look at that tree, look at the cloud, look at this. So it sort of pulls their consciousness out of their body and to more grounded things, and it works really well.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. He goes, it does work well, Mom. He goes, once again, it kind of tricks the mind.
Yeah, I didn't do it to you very much, Eric, because I swear you never had any temper tantrums. You know?
He says you had it easy until I
got older. Yeah, with you. Until you became 14 or so. Then all hell broke loose.
Yes.
But, yeah, anyway, it's a technique that works really well. Anything else you want to say about being in the protective mode, why, and, you know, how to get out of it before we take callers?
He says, yeah, I want all of the viewers to know that they are in 100% control of their life, their mind, their emotions. All you have to do is change your mindset. If you're in a depressed state of mind, force your thinking, force your thoughts to turn around. Even if you're not feeling it, state, I'm happy, I'm safe, I'm in control, because your thoughts create reality, people. Remember, you have total control of your life.
Well, like Abraham Lincoln said, people are just as happy as they've made up their minds to be. And I think, I just love that quote from him. I think it's very powerful.
He's a smart man, Mom. You should learn from him. He
That's
says
right.
You do
We've
learn
interviewed
from
him. There we go.
Yes.
All right. How about taking callers, Eric?
He says, how about it?
How about it? Okay, we're going to take somebody from the 210 area code. Hi there. How are you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi, Dr. Minthus. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Can you hear me? You know, the topic that you guys are talking about is really hitting home right now, and there's a lot of issues that are going on in my life with my wife and my children, and it's probably very draining on you guys to always hear negative things, but I do appreciate all that you do. I do have a loving family. My wife is great. She's beautiful. She's a wonderful wife. However, I had a fallout with my father and my siblings about something very personal. And it's hurt me a lot, and to the point where I haven't even gotten outside for like 2-3 days. I've just been very down and depressed. And
God, I know. I've been there, done that. It's really tough. Been through the same thing.
And so I guess if I could ask
her. Were you betrayed? Do you feel a sense of betrayal?
Absolutely. I feel like I've been working hard to.
I feel it.
Yeah, I mean, and my intentions have always been good. I'm not a perfect person. You know, there's negativity that runs through my mind sometimes, but I can say honestly and that my intentions were good. My expectations maybe were off, but I intended for certain people to be taken care of and kind of backfired. So I guess – I don't even know what the question I'm asking, and I don't want to take too much time because I'm selfish, but what advice can Eric give me? Is my relationship with my father going to get better, or is it going to remain the same?
And what can you do about it? What can you do?
Yeah, right.
Okay. Hello. Eric says hi to you. He says to keep your chin up because this is only temporary. He says that your father is going to come around and have an apology for you. He's telling you that the apology is going to take some time. Your relationship starts to mend before the true apology comes in. He is telling you that you have every right to feel the pain that you do. He's also talking about you needing to feel what you're feeling and digest it. And he says that you need to heal yourself from this. And so he's talking about you really just focusing on your family right now and the positive things within your wife and your kids, because that's what's going to heal you. It's going to bring happiness and joy, and it mends the heart. So he says that this is only temporary. This relationship is going to be repaired. He's going to be the one that's going to come to you. You're not going to be the one that's going to go to him. But the apology, there's not going to be a true apology for quite some time. And when the apology comes, it's going to really come from within the heart. This is a lesson that you guys are learning together. It's a lesson of trust.
I'm going to ask that. What's the spiritual reason for this incident?
It's trust. And so he says with trusting others and yourself. He's also talking about learning to trust your intuition. He says because there were some red flags before this had happened. And so he says to use your intuition. This is a lesson of trust and also about how to use intuition.
Okay.
Temporary. Your family is what's going to bring you out of this.
Are you saying that he had reservations about divulging stuff to his father and or his siblings, but didn't pay attention to those reservations?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all.
Okay. So. And everything you're saying is, it's hitting home and it's true. And I feel like my sisters hate me. I mean, there's dislike, but I feel like they hate me. And there's reasons. And is that real, or is it all in my mind?
So he says that hate is such a strong word. And he says that they do not hate you. They got some mild aggression, but it's not hate. And it's also a form of he's using the word jealousy, but it's not the type of jealous that you're thinking. It's as if somebody's happy or somebody's not happy that you're happy, that type of jealousy, or they want to know why and how are you so good and why are you so better off?
Well, is it going to get better? I really want it to get better, but I didn't know how to trust them. Well, that's my last question. I'm sorry.
So the relationship with your sisters, that is actually going to take longer than with your father. Yes, it does. You're going to have to be the one to initiate that. And this isn't going to happen
right
away either.
What does he need to do?
Eric is telling him to reach out through the phone not in person. It's going to be an actual mouth-to-mouth conversation.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time, and this has been very, very helpful. Maybe I can go out with my family.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Yes. You're welcome.
Wait, one more question I have in this case. You said it will take a while for his father to come around. What sort of time period are we talking about?
His father is going to actually be coming back around in about 2 months from now, but that's not really an apology that's going to be necessary. The apology is going to take about a year. That's the while for the true apology.
Okay. That's good.
Much.
All right,
thank you so much.
Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Bye. Go love your family.
Yes.
Aw. Okay, let's take somebody from the 302 area code. Hi there. How you doing? Thanks for calling.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
You're on.
Alicia. Oh,
hey, girl.
Hi.
What's up?
I'm hoping you guys can hear me. I'm actually driving, so if I drop out, I apologize, but I really wanted to speak to you guys. First of all, Elisa, I love you, love you, love you to pieces, girl.
Oh,
I just,
you're so sweet.
I adore you.
Thank you.
And you are such a brave and courageous woman. And Raylene,
not
I
always.
Love you. And well, we are not perfect, so. Raylene, I also love you, and I love Eric.
Thank you.
I have to say, Eric, I was guided by you, I believe, to just call in because I used my GPS to get home. And instead of saying home, it said channeling Eric. And then it had my address.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That is so cool.
I love it.
Really cool. The reason why I'm calling is because I have always lived with this massive fear. And I know some of it comes from past lives. A lot of it, I do believe, comes from the fact that I'm extremely empathic, and I pick up very clearly on people's feelings, emotions, even intentions. And so it really messes with me big time. But my question to Eric is this: how do I get away from basically ingesting what people suggest, meaning that a lot of people always make a lot of suggestions and a lot of it is crap and I keep ingesting it.
What do you
mean
you keep ingesting it? You keep taking it as truth?
Yes, that's it. I keep taking it as either truth or...
I tend to do that too. I tend to believe everything I hear.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah.
And what do you think, Eric?
Hello to you.
Sorry?
He's talking. He says hello.
He said
to
hello.
You. And yes, he's also telling you that you're a very wonderful person. He says that he's with you quite often. He's telling you that what you want to learn how to do, he's talking about intuition. We all have intuition. Intuition is that gut feeling that you go with. Whether it's this is true or this is a lie or I shouldn't go that way. He says you want to really and digest what you just now heard and ask yourself, is this real or is this fake? Pay attention to the feeling that you get. Yeah.
Okay.
Pay attention to that initial feeling that you get, whether it's a drop in the tummy, that would usually be a no, or whether it's really light and okay, that would usually be a yes. But this is, you're going off of your intuition, your gut feeling. And so he says the other way that you can learn, he says, pay attention to the way that people talk to you. If the person is not looking at you directly in the eyes while they're talking, or if they can't make a specific contact for a certain amount of time, they're usually not going to be telling you the truth. Now, this is just any person that you're having a face-to-face conversation with, not like most people that channel, they do tend to look away. So this isn't going to be somebody that's going to be channeling because a channeler, a medium, tends to look over. This is going to be someone that's talking to you directly, like within a life situation. Now, if you're talking about like medium-wise, well, then the way that you would want to really determine if it was real, this would be your intuition, that gut feeling.
Oh, thank you so much. You just hit a home run, dude, a home run. Because I just
well,
had,
can you help her? Can you put a bug in her ear when she shouldn't accept advice from a person?
He says, yes, Mom. He says, I'm actually working on this now. He goes, why do you think I bugged her phone?
Great. Awesome. All right, so just ask Eric, you know. Ask Eric and see what he says, too. What about the hand game? Would that help?
He says, yes, Mom, the hand game would help, but this requires good focusing. And he says that even with the hand game, your mind can tend to get in the way with that.
Oh, okay. All right, so maybe not. Okay, well, thanks
okay.
for calling.
Thank you, ladies. Have a great night. Thank you, Eric. I'll see you soon.
You're welcome.
I bet you will. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, she sounds so sweet. I really
she does.
Like her energy. Okay, here's somebody from the 410 area code. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'd like to hear from my higher self, please.
Okay. I keep forgetting to ask people first name. What's your first name?
My name is Irene.
Hi. How you doing? All right. So message from the higher self.
Hi, Irene. That's coming in from Eric. And so he says that your higher self, she wants you to pay more attention to your surroundings, your thoughts, because she's giving you guidance every single day. She also, when you start laughing at yourself, a question that you, or a joke that you may have found funny, and you're thinking about it later on, this is going to be your higher self telling you to lighten up, try and laugh a little bit more. She's
okay.
telling you to laugh, lighten it up, and to pay attention to your thoughts, as this is how she's communicating to you.
All right.
Anything else?
That's all.
Let's talk about higher self of Eileen. What is her spiritual mission?
Love. She's coming
love?
In to find love and to experience love. Yes.
Oh.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
That is big.
That's
anything else you want to ask your higher self? Is there anything else you want to ask your higher self?
I think that's it. Thank you so much,
okay.
Lisa and Billy and Eric.
You're welcome. He goes, no
thanks,
problem.
Eileen.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, let's take somebody from, station ID. I would like to extend my gratitude to LiveParanormal.com. People, check out their other radio shows. They really are awesome. Let's take somebody from the 714 area code. Hi there. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
How you doing?
Am I on?
Yeah,
oh my
you're
God,
on. What's your first name?
Sophie.
Oh,
this is Sophie.
So
hi,
cool.
Sophie. I had no idea that it would actually happen tonight. Hi, Lisa. I emailed
hey,
you.
What's
it
up,
almost
girl?
Feels like not even real when I'm talking. I have a lot of energy right now because I'm cleaning. Hi, guys. Okay.
Cleaning.
So
oh, God, that's what I have to do
want...
right after this. After this show, I got a big old kitchen mess to clean up. So let's stall
yes,
as long as possible.
I love it.
So, Sophie, what you got for Eric?
Okay, so I just want to extend my gratitude to Eric and to you, Elisa, because I have been, in the spiritual community and information whole era on the internet and everything for so long, and Eric is such a burst of clarity. He brings
yeah.
so much peace and truth and just mm-hmm. ease and just no junk. Like, it really is just such a blessing, and you are such a blessing because you bring it through. So, hey, he couldn't do it without
Aww.
You. Holy crap, right? Your bravery.
Aww,
your bravery is
so
crazy,
sweet.
Elisa. It's amazing.
Oh, no, I still can't.
I
still can't wrap my head around it, girl.
I can't either. I think that's how you keep it going, though. You just don't think about it. It's beautiful.
Oh, that's sweet.
So I emailed you and I said that I feel like I have a really big, like, long laundry list of things to accomplish in my life. Not a boring thing, but just a huge, incredible thing. And so
I hope laundry's not one of them.
Message from me. No, oh, right now it
laundry,
is.
Good. Good.
But
what, you
want to
ask Eric for a message?
Because he probably, yeah, he knows me pretty well from up there. He can see more than I can see, so I trust that he'll give me exactly what I obviously have been wanting to hear for weeks.
Oh, you know he will. Eric, what you got for Sophie?
So what was the question? It's really static for me, and I'm having a hard time hearing her.
Oh, can you hear me a little bit better?
Yes. No, I'm sorry. I didn't hear the question.
Sorry about that. I'm on earphones right now. Just Eric's best message for me with what I'm going to be accomplishing in my life, my current situation, what, like, the highest message would do me good right now.
Gotcha. He's indicating that you will be moving, and so there is a situation that's going to be coming to an end. You're going to be moving. He's telling you that what you really want to be focusing on right now is actually going to be self-love. He says learning how to accept yourself, he was physically and emotionally. This is going to be what's going to make your life turn around. He says that he's talking about motivation, and so motivation is really hard to come by for you. And when you do get it, you're determined to finish what you're doing when you get that motivation, but it's hard to come by it. He's talking about your sacral chakra. Your sacral chakra is your motivation center. This is even your happy center. You want to do some balancing there. You've got, I guess you can call it a block. You want to clear that energy in that area. You'll notice that you've got, back issues, even tummy issues, people with like IBS, connecting to your sacral chakra. You would want to use crystals. Carnelian crystal is a really good crystal to clear that energy. And so you would just place the crystal, carnelian.
Carnelian,
mm-hmm, or anything orange, any crystal orange would correspond to it. And you would
eat orange
go
things,
like
right? Here. Yeah, eat orange
yes,
things like oranges, orange juice, things like that. And
tomatoes,
aromatherapy.
Uh-huh.
There's, yeah, tomatoes.
Smelling essential orange. Yeah.
Okay.
And so that would
okay.
be your first steps with working on.
Well, what event is going to cause her to move? What event? What's the event that's going to make her move, that's going to encourage
her? I know that I'm going to be moving, but it's whether it's going to be by myself or with my mother.
This is going to be with your mother?
With my mom? Okay, I'm really happy about that.
Yeah.
I was so distraught about the decision. It was so hard. I was trying to use my intuition. And then the second thing, I think that's pretty much it, because I just drew a blank, like, in all of my energy. So I think I'm fulfilled. Does he have anything else?
Well, no, he doesn't. He says that he loves you and that you're beautiful. Those are his last words. With you, do you have
Eric's been crushing on you. Eric, you've been crushing on her.
He goes, kind of, Mom, don't put me on blast.
No, I know. You'd be crushing on the pretty girls. I know you.
He goes, when I see beauty, I have to express it.
Aww.
All right, Sophie, thanks for calling.
Thank you so much.
You betcha. This is so much fun, isn't it, Raylene? Isn't it, Eric?
I love it. He goes,
it's
amazing,
so cool.
Mom. I get pumped.
I know. Okay, so we have another one from the 910 area code. How you doing?
Hi.
Hey, what's your first name?
Hey, Carolyn. I can't believe I got through.
All right, awesome. What's your first name again?
Hi, Carolyn.
Oh, Carolyn. Okay, what you got for Eric?
Hey, I was wondering if he could bring my son forth and see if he had anything to tell me or my higher self, either one, both, whatever.
Yes,
okay.
Ma'am. Eric is telling you hello. What's your
Hi.
Son's name?
Zach. Zachary.
Zach. Zachary, thank you. He's telling me that he does have Zachary here, and so this is going to be coming in from your son. He's telling you, hi, Mom. He says, I want you to know that I'm still with you. He's sitting on the left side of you right now. He's talking about a car for you. You're either going to get a new car or have maintenance done with your car. Is there something going on right now with your car?
Not really. I kind of just got a car. It's just a used car.
Gotcha. Then
that's
going to be
talking
it.
About.
Uh-huh.
Is there going to be
yes.
issues with the new car?
No. No issues
oh,
with
good.
The new car. That's just going to be his indication that he's there with you. He's actually
so
telling
validation.
Her that she's going to want
validation.
To. Yes. He's continuing on with the car, and he's also indicating that she is going to be having to need some maintenance. It's going to be minor maintenance. This is going to be like a, I'd have to say with like tires, something minor.
Okay.
So answer your question, there will be some maintenance.
Okay, what else from Zachary?
he's telling
her
to...
That's what he came to tell me.
No.
Yeah, that's it.
He's telling
me. Well, you want to ask him a specific question?
Go ahead. He is
you want to ask him a specific question?
Go ahead, really.
He's telling you to start getting some books. This is going to be audio books that you're going to want to get, because when you read something, you'll either take in the information and not understand it, or you're not going to take the time to read. And so these are going to be spiritual books that he's wanting you to read. You're going to be doing some teaching and teaching people how to connect to the other side. And so he says to begin with, you're studying now. He's also telling me that you've got abilities with communicating with him. For you, it's going to be claircognizance. You've got a knowing of information. And so he says, Mom, the next time you think about me out of nowhere or my name pops into your head, this is me talking to you. And so he's wanting you to really pay attention to these calm little signs of him being there with you.
What are the calm little signs?
His little
yeah.
signs would be his name popping into your head. Oh, no, he's actually telling me that his sign, the symbols are going to be feathers, little tangible things that you're going to look for, the feather.
Mm-hmm.
That's it on him.
Can I ask
do you have
one
any
specific question?
There we go.
Yeah. Tell me about the surfboard, Zach. What's the deal with the surfboard?
What is the deal with the surfboard? So he's telling me that he does, in fact, enjoy surfing. He's also indicating that this was a passion. He shows the surfboard being broken. Do you know what is with the surfboard being broken?
No, I've been looking for a surfboard since he passed away. And
his
girlfriend actually stumbled into somebody's house, and there it was on the wall. He had sold it to him while he was still alive, and the guy said that he would return it to me. And then he started dating that girl that was Zachary's ex-girlfriend, and now all of a sudden he won't give the surfboard back, and
it's broken.
Oh, how awful.
You don't want to. I know it's got sentimental value, and so when he says broken, that can be physically broken, or that can be things that are tied to that is emotionally broken. So he's actually wanting you to let go of that.
Yeah, yeah. Was that, I need clarification on that. My boyfriend hears Zachary in his head sometimes, and he said that surfboard, and that he was going to mess with the guy that had it. And,
yeah. Well, I sold it to him, so Zach, I mean, the guy is his now, so it's hard to argue
with
that.
Yeah, it was
just
that he said he would give it back, and then he didn't.
He welched on it. That's too bad.
Yeah.
That's too bad. He
but
should
I was
give
just
it back.
Curious.
It's not good.
I don't care anymore. I mean, after Zach said, hook that surfboard, I don't care anymore, but I was just wanting some validation, I guess, that, you know, he knew what was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. That's, you really want to just let it go and move forth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's what the broken was. All right, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks for calling in.
Right on. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Zach, bye-bye. For coming through.
She said,
yeah,
you're
thanks,
welcome. Becky. I love you.
Aw.
Oh.
All right. Bye.
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 Oh. Okay, let's see. Got somebody from the 808 area code. No, wait. Do I? Wait a minute. The 323 area code, actually.
Hello?
Hi there.
Hi, how are you? Hi.
Hey, what's up? You got some air? What's
not
your first
much.
Name?
Alan.
Hi, Alan. What you got? What question do you have for Eric?
I want to ask Eric, what's my soul mission or life purpose or both?
Eric says, hi, Alan.
Okay.
He's telling you
hello.
That, first off, you've come into this world for animals. You're going to be a voice for animals. And so he says this is going to be protecting them and housing them. Do you currently own any animals?
Currently, no.
You want to work on getting some. It's going to be mostly dogs of what you're going to be working with. Have you ever done any, like, volunteer work?
Not directly, but I have sort of with people.
Volunteer in an animal community, like an animal shelter, a horse shelter. This is going to be very grounding for you, and it's also going to help you connect to your true soul purpose. It's animals.
Okay.
What is his life purpose? That's a spiritual purpose. What is the life purpose? If that's different.
He goes, Mom, yes. He says that he came in, coming in to experience love, different types of love. He says love that comes from friends, romance, family, and strangers. Also, he's learning how to not judge. This is huge. That's going to be a lesson, though, not so much a purpose.
Yeah,
well,
I
you know,
hate
that's
how correct
why,
that is.
That's, you know, animals are very helpful in teaching us unconditional love, so that makes a lot of sense.
And they are, and they're non-judgmental. He goes, Mom, an animal, a dog, will look at you with such love and forgiveness and not even remember, you know, something negative about you. They just brush it off.
Yeah, that's awesome. So that's a lot on your plate to learn different kinds of love.
Yeah, it's kind of odd. Like, I thought I was going to be, like, a writer or something, but animals is kind of,
well,
like, out of the ballpark.
Well, what about writing?
He says that writing is a hobby for him, not what his soul mission is. He says there is income that is going to come out of that writing. He goes, but this isn't something that he's truly here for, soul mission or soul.
Well, can't he
life
combine
purpose?
The two? He can write about love, you know, all those different types of love.
He says he will be writing books, Mom. This is actually going to be more so children books.
Oh. Interesting.
This is adult stuff.
You could teach children about love.
He says, there you go. But there's, you see, he's not really teaching about love, Mom. He's experiencing love.
I gotcha. Okay. Okay.
That's all.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
Thank you so much. We were late. Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Okay. Now we have somebody from my computer so slow from the 808 area code. Hi there. How you doing?
Hello.
Hey, awesome. What's your first name?
Rosalyn.
Rosalyn. Hi, Rosalyn.
Yes. Hi. Oh my God.
I've been
for Eric for so long.
Oh, good.
I just
want to
say
awesome.
Hi, Eric. Hi, Eric. Eric knows how much he changed my life, but I'm kind of like feeling a little stuck. We made a lot of changes in our life, like within the past 2 months, and I'm feeling really claustrophobic. And I have a path that I want to take, but like I said, I'm kind of stuck right now, and I know I have a block, but I don't know where the block is coming from. If you could give me a message from my higher self, or something that will resonate with me, that will just like whack me on the head. Is that possible?
Oh yeah, he
anything
can wrap you
possible,
on the head.
Eric says. He says hi, and so he's telling you that you are feeling claustrophobic and stuck. He says more so emotionally than physically, and so he says the block is going to be within. This is going to be your heart chakra. And so our chakras are energy centers. For those of you that don't know, there's 7 chakras that we have in our human body. Well, there's more, but there's 7 main ones. And this is going to be where you're storing your heart. It's going to be things feel heavy. Things are hard to deal with. You're not going to like being around people. And so what you want to work on is removing that energy. And so when it comes to removing energy, you want to do something that's going to cut the cord away, because it's an energetic cord of what you've got. And so not all of it is connected to this current life of what you're living. You do have some that's connected to another life. And so he says that this is actually where the irritation, the anger, and the animosity comes in towards another person. He says you know who he's talking about. And he is telling you that what you want to learn how to do is cut the cords to that person. And so when you're going to a cord cutting meditation.
That's my mother-in-law.
Oh, God.
Uh-oh. Well, you can
disconnect.
Well, because you can disconnect on certain levels. You know, you can actually do that. Like, just talk about the weather.
Well, it just seems like every conversation leads into something negative with her, and it totally messes with my vibe. And I do my best to not let it, but like she'll say things like, I have this thing. Well, oh, my palm is itching, and I was like, that means I'm gonna get a lot of money, and it's true. It happens to me all the time. And then all of a sudden, she'll go and say something like, oh, well, it depends on what hand it is. And if it's this hand, then you're going to lose all your money. I'm like, what? Why did you even have to put that in my brain for? Like, that wasn't even a thought in my mind. And now you cast bad juju on my positive energy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, just pretend like you've got plexiglass in front of you. And all these little stupid things she says, just blink, 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 hitting and falling away. Just know that it's...
So
it's her, and it's not you.
Yeah, I hope not.
He says he has a smile on his face, and he says, sometimes you can't fix people. They have to want to fix themselves. She's not in a place where she's wanting to fix herself because she doesn't think that anything needs to be fixed. And so he says, if you can cut the energetic cords, you will be getting some sense of relief, because you won't feel that deep connection of what you've got right now. And it's like a forceful connection. It's not, oh, I love you. It's forcing you to have a relationship.
Yes.
You can cut
it. I don't
it,
like being
and
forced.
It does not, and it doesn't mean that you have to cut the person out of your life. You know, when I talk about cutting energetic cords, you're cutting the situation, the memories, not the physical person. Because when you cut that stuff, you allow for new positives to come in, new memories, new energy.
And that's what we're doing our best to introduce to her, but she just wants to get stuck in her room. Like, she's just stuck. And it's making, I don't know, I don't want to blame my situation on anybody else. I take responsibility for everything that I do, or at least I do my best to. And I know when I'm wrong, and even whenever somebody has to tell me I'm wrong, I don't, you know what I mean? I take it for what it's worth, and then I move on.
So just to have a more impersonal relationship with her, I've got to wrap up here, guys, because we're going to run into the other show. But anyway, thank you for calling. You need to
thank
call
you
back
so much.
And
I love
have
all
a longer session with Raylene or somebody.
Yeah, well, we're friends on Facebook, Raylene.
Awesome.
Thank you. We're Facebook friends. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, take
Bye.
Care.
Yeah.
Bye.
Okay, everybody, this brings our show to a close. But first, I want Raylene to share how you can get in touch with her and anything else that you want to share with everybody, Raylene.
Yes. My website is angelmedium7.com, and that's the number 7. I connect spirit guides, past loved ones, ascending masters. I can connect to the other side. I offer Skype and phone calls. And then also I will be hosting an event in Thornton, Colorado, where I'm going to be teaching you how to feel spirit energy and crystal energy and just teaching you some tools that you can use with communicating with the afterlife.
So check out her site for all that
on my website.
Yes. There we go. All right, everybody. Bye, and y'all have a wonderful weekend. I love everybody. Bye, Eric.
Bye.
I love you.
Eric says bye. I love you, Mom. Bye.